she's been with me now quite a long, long time, and I feel fine. Every now and then the things I lean on, they lose their meaning, and I find myself being in the places where I should not let me go, go. She has the power to go. No one else can find me, decidedly find me, and the happiness and good times that I know, know. Well, I said I just got to know that isn't what she's got to say. How she thinks of where she's been. To me, the words are nice the way they sound. I like to hear them best that way. Doesn't much matter what they mean. She says them mostly just calm me down, and I feel fine anytime she's around me now. She's around me now. I guess just about all the time. If I'm well, you can tell that she's been with me now. She's been with me now quite a long. Yes, and I feel fine.
To
see. Song that they sing up there over the sky. Maybe you can believe it if it helps you to sleep. But singing seems to work fine to me. So good night, all you that lay. Bye-bye, sweet baby Jane. Is it sea greens and blues there? The colors I choose. Can't you let me go down in my dream? It's time to rock up by my sweet baby Jane.
Could be one of these people seated 2 feet away from the bass speakers. Oh, yeah, too far.
No.
King and her husband at the time, Jerry Hilton. drifters who have been wandering early and late. Third verse of this song is beloved audience, is for all of you gathered here tonight. Don't go anywhere near the first and second verse.
He said, me and Linda, well, it fell out of love. Fell out of love, seems I think I discovered. I've been thinking of leaving, but I can't raise a fuck. James, I wonder, could I borrow your truck?
Day of elections in 21 years after 21 years of military rule, and it was an exciting time, you know, to be in Rio de Janeiro. I sort of squeezed the sun out.
Thank you.
They're all right down there.
Yeah,
Playing keyboards tonight, a great composer in his own right. You probably know his work from Little Feat, Mr. Billy Payne. Drums and percussion, and who can hit things and make music. Please give them a warm hand tonight. They can feel at home and welcome to the planet here. Beautiful green emerald isle. A little bit soggy. So wonderful to be here. Just happy to be here. Well, welcome him tonight. Please, ladies and gentlemen, all of you. I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Carlos Vega. I'd like you to welcome two angelic singers, really descended from heaven above. Onto our stage tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Arnold McCullough and Rosemary Butler. Last but not least, indeed, playing all the notes, my dear friend and longtime companion, Mr. Leland Sklar. Old house. I never heard that before. And whenever he was ready to do something, he'd say, "Let's twist again, old house." Nice talking to you. I'll have another such little nugget later on. Here's something you can do a lot around here.
Oh, Susanna.
Oh, you're over there? Yes, so you are. There you are.
You can play the game, you can act out the part, but you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart? Shame, plague, and a fool. But one thing can lead to another, it doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother and sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Just shower the people in love and love. Show them the way that you feel tonight. Things are gonna turn out fine if you only will. And as I said the night before, shower the people in love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better if you only will. And what you plan to do with your foolish pride when you're all by yourself alone? Won't you tell somebody the way that you feel? You can feel it beginning to ease. I think it's true what they say about the squeaky wheel always getting the grease. Better to shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel tonight. Things are gonna turn out fine if we all will. As I say right now, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better if you only will.
Thank you.
portions of the previous song were pre-recorded. It's long past now. Yes. We used to have an intermission right here in the show.
No.
We don't have an intermission here in the show anymore. Yeah, that's right. We have this song instead of an intermission. This song is a long, drawn-out song. It goes on forever and ever. Seasons change. Well, not yet. Seasons change. People grow old and die. The audience grays and withers before my very mind. It's a long song. So listen, besides, the woman who sells popcorn just got 10 kids to feed. And so if you want an intermission for anything at all, just go ahead and take one, because I won't mind. I will understand. The song actually, it's a short song, it's just a little bitty thing. But the introduction is endless. Long. Long and boring. So, you know, I warn you. Yes, please get me a bag of popcorn. Buy me a bag of popcorn and eat it for me, please. Okay. This song is called Mona. It's about a pet pig that I used to own, who died tragically of rat poisoning before I got a chance to kill her and eat her. I never imagined in a blue moon that I would ever own a pig. But I was wrong about that. I did turn out to own a pig for quite some time. See, my brother Alex and I, one evening, it was very late one evening, actually, it was the next morning. We were having cocktails, if the truth be known, and we were discussing animal intelligence. And my brother Alex was saying that the horse was more intelligent than the pig. Laughable, I know, we all know for sure. But this was his point. When he just belabored it, he went on and on and just kept talking about the horse and how intelligent this damn horse was. I was fed up to hear with that. After a while, I stood up and I delivered this stirring testimonial to pigs. I told him pigs were loyal and that they were trustworthy and they were sensitive and perceptive. I said that pigs were focused, and that they were supportive. Pigs were supportive, and that they were delicious. Delicious, and that they were certainly more intelligent than any team of horses. Anyway, a friend of mine overheard this, and she said to herself, "Well, if he likes pigs so damn much, then I'll buy him one for his birthday." She went off island, and when she came back, she had this little pig. A little pig. Just that little, dense little thing, you know. This is tight as could be. It was like, was shaped just like an American football, you know? Just the same consistency, too. Same feel to it. Dense, you know? Just like a football in every way, except that it had a little black racing stripe around the shoulder. And a little tail hanging off in the back like that. And four of the cutest little legs, you know? Baby legs. But aside from that, she was just like a football, except that she could scream like a healthy woman. But you know where they got that game, you know. Just like football. Anyway, she lived in a brown cardboard box at the foot of my bed that was filled with strips of newspaper and pig shit. That's where she spent her first winter, in that brown cardboard box. We grew very close, Maureen and I did it over that period of time. And when the room thawed out in the springtime, I moved her right outside into a small enclosure that I built for her with a little shelter and a little pig shelter in it. And she started to put on weight. You want to start to gain weight. She gained 650 pounds. You know, but Maura and I were friends. We grew closer and closer, and as time went on, we would move around the countryside, and I'd take her with me, and we had adventures in moving, mostly adventures in moving a 650-pound hog in a Volkswagen. It wasn't even a convertible. And I could make some, if I could, I'll just make a suggestion about how to move your pig, you know, if it's big and it doesn't want to go. You take a bucket and you put it over the pig's head. And the pig will try to back out of the bucket. You know? And when the pig backs up to get out of the bucket, hold the bucket in place and just steer the pig with its tail, sort of like a tiller. Like that. Oh, there we go. Come on, baby. All right, come on. Up the ramp, into the Volkswagen front seat. Close the door. Bob was my uncle. Simple. Try it when you get home. You probably all know this. Anyway, a lot of time went by. Years and years went by. And Mona grew older. And she got kind of stiff in her joints. She couldn't see too well. And in fact, she got meaner and meaner with every passing season. But I still loved her, you know. I took care of her. One morning, my brother Alex and I, it was a lovely Sunday morning, we were out by the pig pen having cocktails again. Alex turned to me and he said he had something on his mind, you know, but he was very devious about getting to his point, you know. He turned to me and he said, "James, my brother, I love you, man. I really, really do. I love you, man." I said, "Thank you, Alex. I'm very fond of you, too." He said, "Man, this is a beautiful place you put yourself here. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful." "Thank you," I said. We were gazing out over the pig, and he said, "James, when are we going to kill Mona?" "Oh, no, you don't," I said. "I'm never going to kill Mona. She's going to die of old age because I love Mona. She and I are like this. I am never going to kill her. I can't kill her. So forget about it." He said, "Right." He said, "I understand. I'll kill her." I said, "No, you won't kill her either, Alex. You've been wanting to kill and eat Mona since she was a football, but forget about it. She's dying of old age." He said, "Right. Okay, man. Back off, man." I said, "You must be pretty excited about the new baby coming," he said, changing the subject. I said, "Yes." "Well, I am. You know, I'm a little nervous, I'm a little anxious, but I'm very excited." He said, "That's good. I think you will make a good father, James. But let me tell you something, man," he said. "Someday that little baby is going to fall into that hog pen, and that pig's going to kill your baby." He had me thinking there a little bit, because Mona had busted loose on a couple of occasions. On one occasion, she had eaten the backup lights off a Porsche. Very valuable on the beat. And on another occasion, she had busted loose, and this, it was a young couple. They were sort of courting. They were, I don't know exactly how to say it. They were up in the woods by my house. It was spring, you know, and it was a beautiful time of year, and they were reclined underneath the tree. It was love. It was a love thing. And Mona rushed on me. She She couldn't go far, but she was fast off the line, and she weighed 650 pounds. She was the size of a small hippopotamus. It was impressive. It was one of those terrible zipper accidents. Terrible. I fell off. Feels bad. She did, but I felt terrible. You know, but it didn't occur to me that either one of these two episodes were particularly hostile on Mona's part. You know, it just sort of happened that way, you know. She didn't know. Anyway, I went away. I went out on the road, and winter came again. Now, two sides of Mona's pen were made up of a huge stack of cordwood, you know, firewood. And in this stack of firewood was living a family of rats that were freeloading off of Mona's feed. The rat warden came up and he said, I see your problem. He said, he put these waxy cakes of green and rat poison in the wood pile, you know, to get rid of the rats. But anyway, as the winter went on and I stayed out on the road, and got colder and colder, my friends and my relatives, they came up to steal my wood. I guess you can figure out what happened. Mona, Mona snacked down on one of these rat baits. She died so hard, she made a big dent in the ground right next to her trough, their favorite spot. Favorite part. Anyway, we buried Mona in the field next to her pen with a JCB. We planted a little bitty pine tree right up on top of her grave, which is today a mighty oak. That's about all there is to the story about Mona, except that I was left with this song that I'm going to do any second now. It's coming right up. I was left with this. It's been very good. I was left with this song that I wrote when I was thinking about how terribly sad it would have to be to have to kill Mona.
Walking man walks on by.
This is a tune called Millwork. This was written for a Broadway musical that ran for 2 weeks. The musical was basically an adaptation of this book by this guy named Studs Terkel. And Studs Terkel had interviewed people about their jobs, what they thought of their work. Well, this one is about a woman who manufactures shoes.
So may I work your mills just as long as top of 5 o'clock. Go 15 minutes to go 3. Till it's time to stand in line. The freeway loop, the parking lot.
Hey, I'm selling town. I hate to be late. It's my home and I'm so sorry. Come again, hold my sorry. Oh, damn, you're selling town.
Looking in the rearview mirror, saw myself the next car back. Looking in the rearview mirror, I'll do hell of a hard time.
Hey, I'm coming down. Oh, I hate to be late. It's my blood that goes so slow. I'm coming home when I stop a beat. Oh, damn, this time in hell.
Now when I die, I don't want no cover. All I'm probably going to do was just drown me in behind the wheel and turn it with my heart.
Oh, damn.
I used to think I was cool, running around on a fossil fuel. Then it turned out what I was doing was driving down the road, driving down the road to ruin.
Here's this Buddy Holly cover we got.
Thank you.
Steamroller!
Here's an old thing we like to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, even
spring, summer, or fall. All you got to do is hold on. I'll be there.
Steamroll, baby. I'll go, I'll go.
of crystal stones, can't let us have it. It's so low down, it's low down. It's here, half alive. It is a freeze-dried baby. Deep fat, southern fucking pride.
Carry on.
Thank you.